of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and thus deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sin, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense serve thee. Behold, God is my helper, the Lord is with them that uphold my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth, O Lord. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength.
Thank you.
Let thy merciful ears, O Lord, be open to the prayers of thy humble servants, and that they may obtain their petitions, make them to ask such things as shall be pleasing to thee. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
Our confessional reading this morning continues readings from the Article 28 of the Augsburg Confession. Article 28 is dealing with ecclesiastical power, the final article of the confession, by the way. But the bishops might easily retain the lawful obedience of the people if they would not insist upon observances of such traditions as cannot be kept with a good conscience. Now they command celibacy. They admit none unless they swear that they will not teach the pure doctrine of the gospel. The churches do not ask that the bishops should restore concord at the expense of their honor, which nevertheless it would be proper for good pastors to do. They ask only that they would release unjust burdens which are new and have been received contrary to the customs of the Church Catholic. It may be that in the beginning there were plausible reasons for some of these ordinances, and yet they are not adapted to later times. It is also evident that some were adopted through erroneous conceptions. Therefore, it would be fitting the clemency of the Pontiffs to mitigate them now, because such modification does not shake the unity of the Church. For many human traditions have been changed in process of time, as the canons themselves show. But if it be impossible to obtain a mitigation of such observances as cannot be kept without sin, we are bound to follow the apostolic rule, which commands us to obey God rather than men. This is our confessional reading. The Old Testament reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 29, reading from verse 10 through verse 13. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. So far our Old Testament reading. The epistle reading from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 10, reading from verse 6 through verse 17. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things have happened unto them for examples, that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as are common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore,
my dearly beloved,
flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So far, our epistle reading. Gospel reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16, reading verses 1 through 9.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
And he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. I beg. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take that bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world in their generation are wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make yourselves friends with the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Here ends our reading of the Gospel.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and stood on the right hand
Our text this morning is the epistle reading from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the Christians in Corinth, chapter 10, verses 6 through 17. I'd like to call your attention at this time to verse 5. Paul writes, "But with most of them God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." Please be seated. Dr. Luther, writing on this text, says, "This is a very serious admonition and as harsh a writing as St. Paul did in all his life, even though he's writing to baptized Christians who still are the Church of Christ. He reminds them of some truly frightening examples of the people of God and of the Church, which he especially chose from the people of Israel." That verse 5 sums up what Paul begins with, pointing out that of the thousands of people God led out of Egypt, two who were over 20 years old when they left Egypt entered the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. The bodies of the rest of them were scattered in the wilderness. In our text, he begins by pointing out some of their rebellion against God who was leading them through the wilderness. He begins by talking about idolatry, talking about the golden calf incident, if you remember, and how the people worshiped that, got up to dance and sing. And idolatry is his main point here. As you notice in verse 14, where he says to avoid idolatry. He also repeats some remarks about their sexual sinfulness. And of course, he dealt with those problems in Corinth in chapters 5 and 6. But idolatry is the main point here. He's going to go on to talk about that because some of the people were carelessly joining in the common meals that were part of the idol worship of their Greek gods in Corinth. We see that in verse 14. Then he goes on talking about those Old Testament examples. Now, all these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. The Israelites in the wilderness could only look forward to the promised Messiah. But for the Corinthians, and for you and me, that promise has been fulfilled. Now, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ have come about and preached to us through the gospel. And Paul gets to the main point of our text. "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." There's a focal point. Hinge pin, if you will. Self-confidence. In our daily lives, self-confidence can be a very helpful thing. You hear it all the time in sports, don't you? The guy's in a batting slump. He's lost his confidence. It can be helpful. If I'm going to have surgery, I want the surgeon to be confident in his knowledge and his skill. But self-confidence has absolutely no place whatsoever in our relationship with our Creator. Proverbs 16:8, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit
before a fall. There's a poster boy for that kind of pride, isn't there? Remember the Apostle Peter?
Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble
because of you, I will never be made to stumble."
Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Paul has the answer too, does he not? "No temptation has overtaken you except such as are common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond all that you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." You may well not remember our introit this morning. The introit is that time early in the liturgy where the pastor for the first time approaches the altar for prayer. That introit began, "Behold, God is my helper." Our Lord is our helper. Our Lord is faithful. Our Lord taught us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." Luther summarizes the meaning of that sixth petition. What does this mean? "God indeed tempts no one, but we pray in this petition that God will guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or seduce us into false belief, despair, and other great shame and vice. Though we are attacked by these things, we pray that still we may finally overcome them and obtain the victory." What an evil, powerful triumvirate. The devil, the world, and our flesh. What does he mean by our flesh? He's simply talking about what he also calls our old Adam. Me, as I was born, a human being in rebellion against his creator, as are all men since Adam. The devil, the world, and our flesh. We are, in fact, our own worst enemy. "Let he who stands, who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall." But God is faithful, says the Apostle Paul. In Genesis 3:15, right after man had rebelled, he promised that the seed of the woman, the son of Eve, would defeat the serpent. God is faithful. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God is faithful. Pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. And so we pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And God is faithful. Amen.
Amen.
And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
prayers this morning, we include a prayer for those who mourn the death of Jerry Rutledge, died on Thursday, and also Edie Beale, who died last fall. Her funeral will be this Saturday, and the details of that will be announced following the service. Let us pray. Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, the giver of life, we thank you for all the mercies you granted our brother and sister during their earthly lives, especially for calling them to faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort those who mourn their death with the hope of the glorious resurrection and a happy reunion in heaven. Lead all of us to remember that we are mortal, so that we will ever prepare our hearts to fall asleep in faith, and finally receive the glory promised to all who trust in you, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
We pray for our communicants. Lord Jesus, who calleth unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and give them rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen.
Amen.
Right and salutary is so to do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who with thine only begotten Son and the Holy Ghost art one God, one Lord. And in the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty, co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, but deliver us from evil.
Take eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it all of you. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. The peace of the Lord be with you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sin. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body and blood of our Lord strengthen and keep you steadfast in the true faith until life everlasting. Go in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. True body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin. Take me. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sin.
Take and drink.
Taken eat. The body of Christ given for you. we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.